We're talking about the Southeastern Regional Black Archives today. Research Center and Museum, the Executive Director, Nasheed Madyun. He'll be with me in the second hour. Melanie Mays is going to talk with us about the Artist Series and their adaptation to our current situation. So stay with me.
Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny, brought to you by Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first name in glass for your home or office, and by Merry Maids. Call Merry Maids. Relax. And it's done.
In 1945, Jack Widden started a glass company in Tallahassee. Now, over 70 years and three generations later, it's still working every day, doing just as Jack wanted, giving his customers real solutions for replacing window glass, providing custom-cut mirrors, and supplying superior bath and shower enclosures. Local building contractors know Widden Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. They prefer Widden because of their precision and mastery of eye-catching storefront glass and countertop glass. It's a fact. When you choose Widden Glass, you're working with real glass people who will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. It's what Jack Widden wanted, and it's been the Widden way of doing business for over 70 years. Widden Glass, Tallahassee's first family in glass since 1945. Call Widden Glass today or visit them online, 850-222-5781 or WiddenGlass.com.
Welcome again, my friend, to this exciting broadcast we call Tallahassee Talks, with yours truly, bringing you the best that is Tallahassee from around the region, many cases. Examples of that today with Melanie Mays talking with us here in this first hour. If you've been a longtime listener, we're so glad that you're a part of the broadcast every week. The show that you love and trust and respect, right? I mean, you do love and trust and respect the show, don't you? Well, if you're new to the broadcast, welcome. If you're listening at moosemagnificat.com, Tallahassee's radio to the world, you know that their radio station provides you some of the very finest music from local musicians playing all original songs, their original compositions and performances. It's our pleasure to do that, all part of the Spatterwork Media and Entertainment Company that not only provides us Moose Magnificat, this radio broadcast, and others. Danny Bedrosian is on Moose. He's remarkable. So there's lots of good stuff for you there to check out. This show is now upon its 10th anniversary. Next month will mark 10 years we've been on there. Thousands of shows, lots of people. It's been pretty cool as we've learned more about what Tallahassee is really all about. And a good example today. I mean, we have Nasheed Madyun, who is is the executive director for this remarkable contribution to not only our welfare, but just our understanding of Black history. And it's really American history. You know? And it so happens, Jim Bellamy and I talk about this often. Jim is the executive director for the Frenchtown Neighborhood Improvement Association. And the conversation often goes to the fact that if you really don't understand Frenchtown, if you don't understand Black history, it's very difficult to understand Tallahassee's history, certainly regional history, and I would contend American history. And it's a fabric that has been woven, and you don't really get to appreciate all of the parts and pieces, the weave of that fabric, until you really appreciate all the various components, and the Black Archives Research Center and Museum. They do a fantastic job. It was actually begun as a work back in, the library was originally, it's the Carnegie Library, I should say, on the campus of Florida A&M. And that construction of that building began in 1907 and officially opened in 08. It was the first Carnegie Library built on a Black land-grant college campus. It was also the first brick veneer building. That's something. So in 76, this Carnegie Library building became the founding home of the Black Archives Research Center and Museum, so dating in 76. In 1978, the Carnegie Library was listed on the National Register of Historic Places. Too often times, gems of this nature, these magnificent contributions to our good, go overlooked. It's easily overlooked when you are nose to the grindstone and you kind of go through your paces and, you know, work demands are what they are to make a living in this town. It's not easy. You know, we're not the wealthiest community by far. And, and the majority of the population work for government in some capacity, whether it's the state of or one of the universities, community college, county or city government, you know. And as incomes go, they're modest, and don't increase dramatically from time to time. Pretty much a constant. So the trade-off is that you're going to get paid, but it's not what you're going to earn doing a comparable job, let's say, in a private sector situation. So, and as it goes, then we find ourselves challenged with trying to see beyond all of those demands upon us. And something like Black Archives Museum, maybe that doesn't show up on your radar, but that's part of our responsibility here to you. And we'll do the same here with Melanie Mays. The Artist Series organization is, for itself, another great example of how a local group of folks, devoted, visionary kind of people, come together and make it their business to bring that world-class entertainment, we'll say, performances to us at a scale that is certainly arguably world class, at a price tag that really fits this Tallahassee economy of ours. I mean, some of these performances that you can go online now and witness for free, I mean, you'd pay $150 if it were in St. Louis or Chicago, Dallas. So it is that we are able to participate in some of the finer parts, the finer points of this here fine community that we live in. And I would celebrate that with you in this way to say that as our 10th anniversary year unfolds, we marking 10 years next month, you can participate in the show a lot of different ways. If you're listening on Moose Magnificat, we're happy for that. It's broadcast on Moose 3 times a week, Saturday mornings at 9, Sunday afternoon at 3, and again on Wednesday afternoon at 5:30. So you got opportunities there. If you go to the website, TallahasseeTalks.com, all of the shows are archived for you. So you can always do that, go back and listen to something you may have missed. Or while you're there, look at subscribing as a podcast subscriber. And then your podcast app, whichever one you choose, It gets updated automatically for you. Man, now it's in your hand. You can listen whenever you care to. But we're grateful, glad that you're part of our broadcast, and grateful for the folks at Real Talk Radio who carry the show, have for many years, Saturday mornings at 9 over there with John Jopling and company. They're at 93.3 FM on your radio dial. So folks, stay with me. I've got lots of good stuff for you, and glad to have you with me.
Widen Glass takes care of Tallahassee business. Local contractors know Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. They prefer Widen Glass because of their precise window glass replacement, masterful shower enclosures, and storefront glass. Widen Glass will take care of you to your complete satisfaction. That's been Widen's way of doing business for 65 years. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. We've done hundreds of storefronts in the Tallahassee area. That's why Widen is known for taking care of business. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Hi, I'm Melissa Bruner, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
The Artist Series of Tallahassee promotes and encourages the appreciation of classical chamber music while developing a broad-based, sustainable audience in North Florida, and I should add, around the world, and we'll get into that here in a minute. Your support of the Artist Series enriches not only our community, but brings, in fact, some of these heralded performers, musicians from around the world to us, and they've been doing this now for several years, a couple of decades, I believe. We're going to get the answers to those questions and more as we talk with the executive director, Melanie Mays. She is our guest. Hello, Melanie.
Hello, Brian.
What a pleasure. Been a while. We've lived through the onslaught of a pandemic and still contesting all of those issues related to. Tell us about what's coming up here now in your mid-season, but for the rest of this season here as we go into 2021. I know you've got several artists lined up for us. Tell us about it.
Yes, we're so excited. We essentially continue. As if it was normal, we just continued virtually online. So that's been a plus for us. In January 17th, just coming up in a couple of weeks, we have the Verona Quartet, the string quartet. They are lovely. You're going to enjoy them so much. Then in March 7th, we have Dominic Kelly, who is a pianist, young, up-and-coming pianist, sort of from my neck of the woods, St. Louis. I'm Kansas City, but, you know, I used to go to St. Louis a lot, whenever I could. Great city. He's a fabulous pianist. You will enjoy his playing so much. And then our last concert of the year is Amy Schwartz Moretti, violin, and Andrew Armstrong, piano. And they are on Mother's Day, May 9th. And we're excited about it. They're fabulous as well.
That sounds fantastic. In terms of the caliber of these performances, it's something you and I've talked about before, in as much as it's very difficult to see this kind of music or enjoy this kind of performance anywhere without coming away thinking, I've just experienced something that is at a level far beyond what I might have expected, considering the ticket price, I guess is what I'm trying to get to. Seems
right
to me that the Artist Series, for its history, tell me the answer to that question. How long has the Artist Series been around?
Oh, I'm glad you asked. This is our 26th year. Last year was our 25th.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of fundraising and a lot of to-dos and
look
a gala.
That.
And we did so well fundraising. And I can't tell you, Brian, how glad I am, because we were not in a terrible place for this year when all of this just suddenly happened.
Wow.
And I think it's been the key to how we could keep going.
Right.
The fundraising that we did and the fundraising that we continued to do. Our board of directors didn't stop. We had monthly meetings. We met, we discussed, we talked about how to go forward. Should we quit? Should we just keep going? And, you know, because of them, because they were willing to help me work through it all and figure out a good way to do it. I mean, we've done okay. You know, we're going to make it through this. And that is very exciting to me. So, yes, it's been 26 wonderful years.
That's great.
And the one thing we do, Waldy Anderson was one of our founders, and Waldy felt it was very important that the people of Tallahassee and the local surrounding communities and counties should be able to hear world-class musicians. So we only hire people who participate in all the main competitions in, you know, for their instrument, the ones who have gone to the great schools, the ones who have played internationally as well as, you know, here in the United States. They are professional musicians who go around on tours when, of course, when things are normal.
Right.
And they are very, you know, educated players. They're good players. They play in symphonies. They play, they played on TV. They have recorded multiple times. Some of them even have, you know, like Grammys. And
right.
So it's interesting to be able to work with this caliber of musicians. First of all, great people. You would think a lot of prima donnas, not so much. Really just great people who want to perform. And it was my goal to be able to keep these people employed, because honestly, when everything stopped with COVID, I mean, everything stopped for them. Their income just went through the, you know, the floor.
Right.
So it was what we wanted to do was to be able to still pay them, you know, have them perform for us and still pay for them. And I can't tell you how grateful they've been that we, you know, did the best we could and that we have actually been able to have a performance for them, you know, even though it's a virtual performance, they have loved it.
Well, and I know too that you have adapted there by making sure that your season ticket holders, I guess anyone who wants to purchase a ticket, they do so, and that entitles them to access the app that they can use to view the concert. Is that how that works?
Well, here's the thing. Anyone who wants to watch our concerts can watch them for free.
Okay. Anyone.
What we, this year, normally if you just show up at Opperman, you know, you pay $25. This year we said no. Everybody who shows up can watch the concerts for free.
Okay.
What we asked of our season ticket holders, our patrons, our donors, we said, can you please just treat it as if it's a normal year and still buy a season ticket? We reduced the season ticket price back to $99 for all season tickets. And we said, this year, your season ticket is a donation to us.
It's
a donation.
Okay.
What we did do, though, for those who bought the season tickets, is that we went ahead and we printed a program. And that might seem like a silly thing, but I can't tell you how many people love to hold a printed program. So we printed our program.
Yep.
We were able to sell advertising and get sponsors. So that brought in a little income, which was great. People said to me, why did you do that? And I said, sponsorship.
Why not?
Ad.
Yeah.
You know, it helps. So we did that. And we mailed the program to the season ticket holders.
That's why they call you the executive director.
There you go, the executive
director. I think
so.
The
sponsorship. Oh, and then here's the other thing, Brian, that has been very cool, and we have enjoyed this so much. We added for season ticket holders and donors, and sometimes special guests, we have added Zoom chat. So if you purchase a season ticket on the day of the concert at 5:30 p.m. Eastern time, you get to chat on a Zoom chat with the artist.
Oh, that's very cool. That's like a backstage pass. Yeah.
It has been wonderful. And the artists have enjoyed it so much. You were speaking about Paul Galbraith to me earlier, the classical guitarist.
Right.
It was wonderful, by the way. Paul was so excited. I mean, you know, it's 5:30 p.m. here in Tallahassee, but it's 9:30, 10 o'clock for him in England. Making a late night call, but he loved it, and he was so generous to get, you know, they've all given us about an hour and a half of their time, and any of our people that have paid for the season ticket can be on it, and so, you know, we get to ask them questions, we talk to them about their concert, because if you watch the concert at 4 p.m., then most concerts are lasting about an hour, a little less maybe. I'm wrong. About an hour 15. About an hour 15 is the run. And they can then watch the concert and then jump on the Zoom call at 5:30.
That's fantastic.
And so the concerts are on our website. That's all they have to do is go to our website on the day of the concert. I usually put the concerts in two different places, just because it's the way our website works, and so it's a little strange, but I just wanted people to be able to find the concert.
Sounds great.
Really, you know? And,
yep.
And so it has been one of the most positive things because, Brian, people from around the world are watching our concert.
Look at that.
So exciting.
Yeah. And, folks, let me tell you this, too, that the web address is theartistseries.org. So you want to go and bookmark that now so you won't be hunting for that later or forget the address. So theartistseries.org. We're talking with the executive director, Melanie Mays, and we're going to take a quick break. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Stay with me.
More beauty, less bully. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Melanie Mays, executive director, board of for the Artist Series here in Tallahassee, among a rather accomplished and notable board of directors. Carla Connors is the president, Edna Owens, Glenn Hoskin. These are folks who are certainly in their own right accomplished in business and as professional. Carla Connors, recognized around the world for her vocal performance, her talents, and is kind enough to grace this community with an annual performance. I think she's still doing that. Is that right, Melanie?
I believe she does. I know she sings often with Bach Parlay. I think she does special performances sometimes connected through FSU, I believe. I know she does other performances, and then she usually entertains at our fundraisers.
Right.
Another great reason to attend.
Absolutely right. And you
get
know,
to hear Carla.
It is fun, and the fact is that she has contributed sizably to the careers of so many other people, and I know firsthand because a couple of my kids in their younger days, high school and college days, were students of hers, and talk about that even today, many years later. We talked earlier about the fact that this is an organization now better than two decades. So I think you said this is your 26th season. Sadly enough, we lost Philip Spurgeon, who served the organization as the artistic director. He was a remarkable soul, wasn't he?
Yes, he was so generous with his knowledge and his time and his effort, and I am so glad that I got to know Philip. You know, I was hired to be the executive director actually 2017.
Right.
January 2017.
Hard to believe.
I took over middle of the season.
Yep.
And, you know, he really showed me how to do it. You know, who he considered, I think, good enough to be involved with our series, who he considered, someone that would really bring something special and different, to classical music lovers in Kansas City, classical chamber music lovers. And I really admire him, and I have to say I'm sad. His birthday was just the other day. It popped up, you know, on Facebook for me. And we lost him end of February.
Right.
I think.
Right.
And I had just completed hiring everybody for the season. He and I worked together on the season, and he was not doing as well, honestly, towards the end, but I didn't really know what was happening. And I had just said, Philip, do you just want me to, because he and I would talk about who we should hire, who we should have, and I just finally said, do you just want me to finish this up for you this year? Because it was really kind of my time to take over anyway.
Right.
Yeah, will you do that? And it was so bizarre because the day he passed away, I had just finished all the details. And
of
course,
wow.
It was COVID, so we assumed we'd have a normal season.
Sure.
I'd finished all the details. I had just left him a lengthy voicemail on his phone saying, Philip, we did it. We're good. Great job. I'm so glad it worked out. And I had emailed him as well, all the details. And then I found out maybe a couple hours later that he had passed away that afternoon.
Oh,
so
boy.
He didn't get to hear my last voicemail or see my last email, but it really was a season that he and I worked very closely together on, and he just had a real eye he had a real eye for talent. And that's something that someone has said to me several times. Several of our regulars have said, boy, Phillips could really book a
yep.
team. I said, yep. He really could. He just has so much knowledge.
When we talk about the arts, performing arts, visual arts in Tallahassee, oftentimes it comes down to a few people like you, like Carla, like Philip, who have the vision and they have the talent, they have the heart, they have the skill, the experience. And what's remarkable there too, and you've said this, it's really for the love of it. You know, there is that notion that an amateur is someone who does it for the love of it. Well, hardly we wouldn't think of any of you as amateurs, other than to say we as a community, I think, are given another example of what sets us apart. When you can find this kind of vision and commitment, and just hearing you talk about what it took, what it has taken thus far to accommodate all of this interruption and to be as determined even more so to make sure these artists have opportunity to perform for us. And here now on a world stage because of the virtual concerts, and for any of us, we're able to go to the website the day of the concert and enjoy this, hopefully, and I want to encourage all of our listeners to do this, they can become season ticket holders, or they can simply make a donation, because after all, again, as you point out, these are professional musicians that that really need us to support them.
Yes, and the thing is, too, is that if you want to watch it, if you aren't a season ticket holder, you can go online and watch it for free, or you can even send us like $5. $5 is great. That helps. That helps us
yes.
be able to continue to bring fabulous musicians to Tallahassee. And we're already working on next season. You know, like I said, we've been offered our dates for Offerman, which we hope will happen. We
right.
are going to look forward to it.
Right.
And so we're going to start booking our musicians, thinking ahead of how we're going to do that. And like I said, we may still offer our audiences to still be able to not only go to Offerman to watch it and or stay home and watch it online again. Because honestly, we don't really know what that's going to look like next
sure.
year. We
sure.
don't know if there's going to be, you know, we're only going to be allowed so many people, if we're going to be
yeah.
allowed, you know, a full house, we don't know. So
yep.
we're probably still going to make being able to watch it, you know, from the luxury of your home with
a glass of
wine in your
home. And as an adaptation, that's that new normal then ends up being an expansion, as it turns
yeah.
out,
yeah.
of your audience.
Exactly. And so, you know, maybe, you know, I'll be honest with you, we were able to continue, but we could not have been able, we couldn't have gone on with this year if we still hadn't received the grants that we've applied for. We got, you know, we did get CARES Act money. We did get disaster loan money. I mean, we applied for anything that we were eligible to apply for.
Yes.
And, you know, honestly, we could not have done it without the salary assistance. Because honestly, I was thinking, I'm not really sure if, I know we can pay the artist, but I don't know that we can pay
right.
me. I'm the one employee.
Right.
And,
right.
And honestly, it's very hard to have any sort of an organization without at least one paid employee. But all of that managed to work. And we've had people actually still be quite generous with donations for us. We can always, always accept more. And we are, and believe me, it goes to good. It goes really, we are just a bare knuckles organization.
Mm.
We don't have offices. We don't have, you know, equipment really. Specifically, we have a little bit, but not a lot. And, you know, so we really, every dime that we bring into our organization goes to running the organization and to paying for the talent or to paying for, you know, next year, hopefully, back at Offerman Hall.
Right.
So, you know, it's there's no waste in our organization at all. It all goes to good use. And, you know, and like I said, the fundraiser that we did last year really, really helped us to be able to continue this year. It really did.
Once again, the web address for you listening, theartistseries.org is where you go. And not only can you participate in these virtual concerts, which are upcoming, I'll give you those dates here again. You have the opportunity to learn about the organization and to learn about the artists, and you have opportunity to support these concerts and the organization itself, because it is such a vital part of this performing arts community in Tallahassee. You become part of the flow, and I'll have to say it's a good feeling to know that I'm contributing to the welfare of my community by bringing the Artist Series forward in all of my conversations with folks and in my donations to the organization. It's a great thing to do. It's vital to us as a community, and I would encourage you to do so. TheArtistSeries.org. We're talking with the executive director, Melanie Mays. We'll be back right after this.
Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop offers front door service at both locations and plenty of outdoor seating at the Cary Forest Shop. Jerry's is committed to your safety during this pandemic, having sealed off the humidors to the public since March, which means the cigars are uncontaminated and ready to enjoy. To help our community, Jerry's is donating a portion of all Regina cigar sales to local food banks, with nearly $10,000 donated so far. Come see us at Jerry's Famous Cigar Shop, with two locations on Shara Road and Cary Forest Park.
Witten Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Witten Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Witten's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Witten Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Witten Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.
Now we're really talking. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Melanie Mays. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks as we talk about the many ways in which Tallahassee stands this jewel of a community in what is otherwise an agrarian part of the state of Florida, South Georgia, and such. We are that place where people from around the region, and I've had it said to me that people even across the country, various parts, will come to Tallahassee because of an organization like the Artist Series that features these outstanding classical ensembles and soloists. And let me just say quickly, we've got Melanie Mays with us, the executive director. I want to say too, Melanie, the uniqueness of chamber music. You know, if somebody says classical music, I don't know. I went to a symphony concert one time. Wasn't my thing. Well, stand by, because when you're in front of an artist of this caliber and you're at a concert of this kind, in my way of thinking, it's like, okay, so if you went to a restaurant and maybe it's a buffet. Okay, obviously I'm going to the food reference. This is the first thing I think of. And you've just sampled everything, and you know, you're satiated. And okay, compare that to a gourmet meal that is prepared strictly and entirely for you, in which each item in that meal is so expertly crafted, and you all of a sudden discover how that food is really supposed to taste. I that's the best I can do. But it strikes me that when you have a solo artist, particularly, whether it's a string instrument or piano or a quartet, you're really getting what I consider the distillation. You're getting a lot closer to the music in some respects. Melanie, help me here.
I will step in. I will step in right here. You know, the nature of chamber music, the history of it, it's small ensembles. It's meant to be music that was played for the courts in Europe, right? The king, the courts, the dukes. And what you are taking part in is like your own personal salon, especially
That's
when
it.
You're watching it when you're watching it on salons, that's another thing. It's another way that people used to listen to music. They couldn't always go to a theater or to a large auditorium. They would actually have salons in their homes, and people would pull up some chairs and they'd sit around and artists and musicians would play and sing and perform. That's what chamber music, that's what it actually is.
That's where it was born. It's
a small ensemble or a soloist or a duo with a smaller audience, perhaps.
Yes.
But we are lucky to have Opperman Hall, which seats, I think, 433 people, something like that. So we can
have
more, but it's still such an intimate feel. The acoustics are fantastic there.
Yeah.
And then now, even in this day and age, where you're actually watching from your TV or your laptop or your cell phone, it's like the artist is performing just for you. And the thing that I like about chamber music is that the artists don't just sit there and play. They speak to the audience. They talk to you. They explain to you about the music they're about to play. They give you insight. They tell you things that they know about the composers or the composer's life. They even tell you how it relates to their life. So it is a very intimate, wonderful, emotional experience. It really can affect you in a way that I think maybe other types of music doesn't.
Right.
It's the intimacy of it,
right.
I believe.
And you know what? Much to the delight of the local hospitality industry, hotels and restaurants and such, the Artist Series has, in its history, attracted visitors from around the world and certainly from around the region, people who will come from out of town and spend the weekend and enjoy a concert and participate in the Tallahassee experience. I know that's vital to your involvement with tourism and a number of these funding organizations, and I think of COCA and Visit Tallahassee, are really a big part of how you've been able to grow over the years, right?
Exactly. I mean, thank goodness for COCA. They have really held it together through this pandemic, and they have given so much guidance to all the music and theater and dance and arts organizations and individuals. And I don't know what we would have done without them, honestly. They pushed us to, you know, apply for this grant or for that grant or for this loan or, you know, and they really helped us, walked us through it. They've been wonderful. So the thing that you have to remember is this pandemic has done many weird things. So when you say, oh, the theater's closed, it's not just the theater. It's the people who also work there. So
yep.
You've got stage managers, crew, lighting people, sound people, ushers, security. You've got the people who maintenance the place, clean it. Then you've got, you know, our organization, which is the artists and myself. I mean,
right.
I am paid because we have an organization that brings music to Tallahassee. So when people can no longer travel to Tallahassee, it really affects the amounts of money they can give each arts organization. It really just rolls downhill.
Yeah, downline consequences are stunning and just staggering.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. And,
right.
And you know, honestly, the music and the arts industry and theater, we have been hit probably, I don't know if we've been harder, but we have been hit solidly. And it has really, I think, made people very grateful for whatever they can get these days, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But honestly, honestly, music, theater, arts, it's what makes us civilized. And it's what makes us interesting, thinking, feeling people as a society, as a world society. And it's important to all of us. Every type of music, theater that's out there, art, dance, it's all important. And it needs to be continued. So we're working diligently to just, you know, buckle down, do the best we can. And what we want to say to people is, once all this is over, please go support your local restaurants. You know, go support your local bars, your establishments. Shop
yes.
with someone local.
Right.
Stay. Bring your family in. Tell them to stay in a bed and breakfast or a hotel or a motel. There's so many lovely places here in Tallahassee. Go come here and sightsee. There's so much to do, and that's what the arts adds to our community.
Indeed.
Not only can you go to go to a really nice beach not too far away, and not only can you eat great and shop great and have all these wonderful things, but there's really terrific arts, you know, music, theater, dance right here in Tallahassee that locals can enjoy, as well as people from outside our community. And we're just looking forward to that day. We really are.
We started this conversation talking about the unique contributions the Artist Series has made, continues to make to our community, and how it really sets us up for a lot of that attention. A lot of the people that participate as artists who are performing, and those who are audience members, and now because of these virtual concerts are able to participate. It isn't just the music, it isn't just the Artist Series, it is Tallahassee's contribution to the world. And the big part of what you do, Melanie, is to bring that message clearly to this world stage and to this audience. And for that, you have our thanks. And we want to encourage you to continue on. Folks, they've got a show coming up January 17th, Verona Quartet. So you want to make sure that you bookmark that website, theartistseries.org. Our guest today, Melanie Mays, Executive Director. Melanie, thanks for being with us.
Thank you. I've enjoyed it.
Folks, stay with me. I've got more coming up after the top of the hour. You're in tune with Tallahassee Talks.
Every day, Sellers makes life a little better for homeowners, helping them find the best design ideas for their homes with the best quality tile, carpet, and hardwood flooring. Even mosaics and ceramic and vinyl solutions are right there at their fingertips. Professional designers and seasoned advisors are ready with expert guidance to be certain they find the best solutions for their home. And best of all, Sellers works hard to bring the lowest prices and the highest quality products all in one location. That saves homeowners time and money. Maybe it's time for you to find the Sellers advantage for your home or your office. See for yourself this week at Sellers' spacious showroom, conveniently located on Capitol Circle Northeast, just north of Mahan Drive. Or find them online at sellerstile.com. Style, quality, and design at Sellers in Tallahassee. 656-8453.
Hi, I'm Tom Flanagan. You're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
Welcome back to this here fine radio show, Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny. Online at TallahasseeTalks.com. You can email us, simple enough, topics@TallahasseeTalks.com. If you have a suggestion for us, you know, if it's polite. You start screaming at me, I get, you know, like, get off the air. That's not nice. How about a guest or a topic that you'd like us to consider? I'd be happy to do that. We have done that for a number of folks over the years, and it's always a pleasure to hear back from you as to what you would care to have us consider. You can also participate by looking at that archive page and find a show that you may have missed, or you can just do a search if you're looking for a particular guest or topic. Use the little search bar. On the air 10 years now, starting in February of 2021, we are going to be able to continue bringing you this show because it is really our business to celebrate what is the best of Tallahassee. And we do that by bringing to you the people who are sort of at ground level. Like we did in the first hour, we had Melanie Mays, the executive director for the Artist Series. And now we will have for you Nasheed Madyun. He is the executive director of Black Archives, housed there at the Carnegie Library Building, campus of Florida A&M, down there on Gamble Street. Their admission, by the way, is free. You're going to need to check in with them as to their ability to receive visitors. It is what it is, and we're doing our very best, are we not, to try to protect one another and do what's in the best interest of the country and our local community, you know. And in speaking of that, let me give you a couple of
newsy items, the community, particularly related to the city of Tallahassee. The city commission is holding their annual retreat, so-called. The Tallahassee City Commission will be retreating on Wednesday. That's this coming, January 13th. And it's going to take place at the City of Tallahassee Electric and Gas Logistics Facility. That's at 2601 Jackson Bluff Road. Begins at 9 o'clock that Wednesday morning. Now, it is open to in-person attendance. The seating will be limited and spaced according to physical distancing guidelines, 6 feet apart and all that. And, of course, you're going to have to wear your mask while you're there. So you are invited to participate in that fashion. However, they've done a good job in creating some online opportunities, one being the virtual online platform during the retreat. You can check that out by going to talgov.com/citizen input. And anyone needing assistance with submitting comments should contact the city treasurer clerk's office via email. Okay, so that email address is going to be CTC, right? CTC, REC, REC, MG, at talgov.com. Or you can just call them, 891-8130. It'll stream live on the city's Government Access TV channel. That's WCOT, Comcast, and CenturyLink Channel 13. And again, you can go online to their website, talgov.com. It's also available at facebook.com/cityoftlh and twitter.com, same handle, cityoftlh. So lots of ways that you can participate virtually. Probably the best idea. But if you want to submit comments prior to the meeting, you can do so. And that's why they gave you that email address. Once again, ctrecmg@talgov.com. And again, the phone number, 891-8130. Another little PSA for you here. You know, that's radio for public service announcement, in case you didn't know that. Coming up Saturday, the 6th of February, the annual Daddy-Daughter Dance, which is a fundraiser for the Rotary Club of Tallahassee Northside. Tickets are $30 per family. That's expired. So now your tickets are $40 per family. You can also purchase photo packages. You can register for a chance to adopt a purebred Havanese puppy, if that's been on your bucket list for a while. Well, there you go. Again, Saturday the 6th of February, virtual dance party played right in your living room on your device, your smart TV or computer, featuring DJ Mark. Fun for the whole family. Uh-huh. So there's an early dance for 4th grade and below. That's at 4:30 in the afternoon on the 6th. This is a Saturday now. And then you can do the late dance. That's for the 5th graders and up. And that begins at 7 p.m. So pictures and party favors are available from 5 to 6:30 at local car dealership, Dale Earnhardt Jr., over there on Capitol Circle Northeast. And so you can actually drive in there and pick up your pictures and party favors between 5 and 6:30 at Dale Earnhardt Buick GMC Cadillac. Right. The dance proceeds, as mentioned earlier, will benefit local and international charities supported by Rotary Club of Tallahassee North Side. So hopefully that will be of fun for you. A bit odd in that, you know, you're dancing there in your living room. Okay, but we've adapted, haven't we? We've figured all this out. Incidentally, if you want to buy tickets, you can go online, rcotn.org. Once again, rcotn.org. I would also encourage you to keep in mind that we are now into that part of the year when we are challenging everyone to consider those in need of sustenance. And the Tallahassee Food Challenge, our annual campaign, will kick off here in another few weeks. It has been our determination over the number of years that we've done this to simply continue to remind us all to give generously to local food charities. Now, of course, an easy way to do that is to keep in mind Second Harvest of the Big Bend. You can go to their website and make a cash donation, keeping in mind that a $4 contribution will yield a $16 purchase of food, or a $40 contribution will amount to $160 worth of food. There's a 4-to-1 ratio. So for every dollar you and I contribute, they're able to multiply the effect, the buying power of that contribution by 4. So great way to do that. TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com is the site where you can go to learn more about battling hunger in our community. Stay with me.
Hello, I'm Brian Cerny, host of Tallahassee Talks Radio.
And I'm Coach Sue Semrau.
The food assistance charities in Tallahassee need our help during this critical time of year. And the businesses sponsoring the Tallahassee Food Challenge want to remind each of us to take the challenge by making an additional contribution and donating food.
As the school year comes to an end, many children no longer have access to school-based food support programs. As a result, supplies run low, while the needs for assistance is even higher. Join us in giving generously during this critical time of need. You'll be helping feed hungry children and families across our community.
Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com to learn how you can help and where you can donate. Your donation will go directly to these charities that do so much to help the needs of so many.
Take the challenge. Fill a bowl.
Feed the hungry. Do it now. Go to TallahasseeFoodChallenge.com.
Good morning, friends. This is your friend, Dr. Benjamin Franklin. We're talking with Brian Cerny on Tallahassee Talks.
In 1971, the Florida legislature mandated the creation of a repository to serve the state by collecting and preserving source material on and about African Americans from ancient to present times. As it is quoted, this particular mandate gave birth to what would later become the Black Archives Research Center and Museum. We have with us this morning the director of that aforementioned Black Archives, Dr. Nasheed Madyun. How are you, sir?
I'm doing just fine. Thanks for having me.
You're looking well.
Thank you.
Glad that you could find some time in your schedule, because I know that it gets a bit dicey. You got a lot going on. And this is an organization, an activity and a contribution, an installment that the university has taken great care in providing and advancing. You've been at the helm now for some time, haven't you? What's your history?
Well, I've been with the FAMU Black Archives for about 4.5 years now.
I gotcha.
And I originally worked for about 5 years as the museum director and archives director at Hampton University.
I see.
That's in Virginia.
Yes.
And I also served as the director of the Texas State History Museum in Austin, Texas. And I had the opportunity to help to build and lead the Stax Museum of American Soul Music.
Oh, man.
In Memphis, Tennessee. That was fun. And
I was going to say, that was probably a very boring job.
Yeah. And with some of those artists, I was able to make a bridge, and I worked as the president and general manager of the Gibson Retail Group. That's a division of Gibson Musical Instruments.
Right.
And so I had a stint in state, private, as well as corporate America.
How cool is that?
I also had a chance to work for the mayor of Memphis. As one of his special aides, doing an interesting time in their growth. But been around and had the opportunity to look at art, music, and history. And this institution that I'm with now affords me the opportunity to look at all aspects of
bringing African that all American together.
Culture. Yes, it's been a
what a great intersection for you.
Yeah, it's been a joy. Yes, it has.
Imagine. Mm-hmm. And this is a life's work for you.
Yes. Somewhat. It's a very odd story. I grew up in Arkansas, and there's a lot of blues history in Arkansas. A lot of agricultural business history in Arkansas with cotton and tobacco and timber. But I went to school in college in Mississippi, and what's just right across the Mississippi River for me.
Right.
And I took up business courses and tried to pursue a business major. I kept taking history classes. And I had a professor pull me to the side and said, why are you taking so many history classes and you're excelling better than some of my history majors? And with some of your criticisms of some of these topics, had you considered this field? And I said, well, not really. What can I do? How can I make some money in this field?
Is there a paycheck involved?
Right, yeah. Right. Can I? And he said, well, you know, here, you may want to take a look at John Hope Franklin at Washington University. His father was a part of the Black Wall Street Tulsa riots in the 1920s. There's some history there.
Wow.
Take a look at museums. And I said, you know, what do museums do? And There were not a lot in that area at the time, but maybe you want to contribute and write a book or something like that. Write a book, and so it was intriguing. And this was a very tall, statuesque white gentleman who pulled me to the side.
So you were in your early 20s, likely.
Yeah, it was my early 20s.
Yeah, yeah.
It was actually the day of the Oklahoma City bombing.
You're kidding me.
Yep, it was that. That was the day.
Wow.
1994, I believe.
Right.
I remember because I changed my major. He was so compelling, and the bells were ringing for people to change classes, and there were people on the quad crying about what they felt that just happened.
Yeah.
And we were having this in-depth conversation about the lack of African Americans dealing with our history.
Yeah.
And you have all of this turmoil around you.
Right.
And I'm looking to walk away. He would not let me leave. And there you have it.
That's remarkable.
Right. It's a story of individualism in each and every one of us. There's an arc in the story. When you talk about Black identity, you have to consider consciousness. And as a white man in America or a white woman in America, you have a very clear understanding of opportunity and some examples. But Black consciousness, W.B. Du Bois at the turn of the previous century, coined a phrase, double consciousness, and that when you walk out your front door, you're not only an American, but you're a Black American. And what does that external conflict have to do with your internal conflict? So when Jim mentioned the fact that you have to accept that opposition of racism, you also have to accept the steps that you have to take to rise. Your steps may be harder to pull, higher to leap, especially if you're a Black woman. So there's a triple consciousness when you look at the glass ceiling and identity. So African-American art, African-American music, science, and technology, it's woven into the American fabric. Institutions like the Black Archives, the responsibility is not to extract so much as to identify those unique points of excellence so that we can see that not just African-Americans, but German-Americans, Japanese-Americans, who also had their challenges in the United States, Italian-Americans had their challenges, but it brings about a question of humanity, humanities, and what is the design of America? What is at the core? And it's not politics. It is local, you know, where you live and how you walk. What's in your grocery store? What do you allow in your grocery store? What do you try to expel? Do you have the power to do that? The social contract, you know. John F. Kennedy spoke about the role of people in a community. What should you do and what should you expect? But that's an American ideal. And when you look at identity, sometimes you overlook the fact that the expectation for first, second, and third class Americans may be different. And what is your role if you see that?
Talking with Dr. Nasheed Ajun, he is here to bring us in touch with the work that is the Meek Eaton Black Archives, Florida Agricultural Mechanical University.
Yes.
And we are pleased to have you with us. Stay with me, folks. I've got more coming up right after this.
My dog was in bad shape, and I was scared. I had never seen her so sick, and my mind was racing. What to do? Who to call? I mean, I raised her from a puppy. She's like my best friend. A few years ago, she developed diabetes, and I've been following her daily regimen carefully. But that morning, something just wasn't right. She could barely move, and I thought, I'm losing my dog. I called a friend, and he said, call Dr. Pliskin. So I called Mahan Animal Clinic. They put me through immediately, and Dr. Pliskin said to get her there right away. Turns out her blood sugar had dropped dramatically, but he knew exactly what to do. I guess you know. There's no other place I would go knowing that Mahan Animal Clinic and Dr. Pliskin are there for me and Aerith.
Special people and special care for those you love. Mahan Animal Clinic on Mahan Drive near Costco. On the web at mahananimalclinic.com or call 402-0557.
Bringing you whatever Tallahassee is talking about this week. Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We have with us Dr. Nasheed Ajun talking about black consciousness.
Yes.
Right?
What is your why? What is your how? You know, how are you going to accomplish these things?
And what are the options within that, right?
You dance through a lot when you grow. And you have perspectives that your grandparents and parents impart on you. You have society and popular culture that's an influence. And stereotypes. But with archives in a museum, we have the opportunity to look back and provide an environment so that you can be retrospective, mm-hmm. reflective, and reflexive. Mm-hmm. And documents reveal that objectively. And intellectual property, design, thought. Here's a story that may spark some interest. There was a gentleman that came from very humble beginnings in South Florida, found his way through his athleticism to make it to the Florida A&M University's football team, the same football team that beat University of Miami in the late 70s. Mm-hmm. That's a story within itself. But this individual, no one knew that he was a genius. And when he graduated, people were happy, but saw that he was adorned with a 4.0 engineering degree from the university. Well, we didn't know he was that smart. He ends up going to the NFL as well as Stanford University. And right now, his intellectual property, his design, the mini-wave technology, his name is Dr. Tim Charles. Once you walk through an airport, you have to throw your hands up. And there is a machine that scans your body for inappropriate guns and what have you, knives. That's his technology.
Wow.
From Florida A&M. But you never would have known.
Right.
And he did not communicate his talents because of stereotype. Also, the balance between opportunity. And he became a wealthy man, not in athletics, but in science and technology. He has since adopted and put through community colleges some 28 youth. You know, amazing stories that now you read that story, you hear about that story, and you come across it in a museum.
Yeah, yeah.
You're forced to think about, what am
right.
I doing?
Right.
And how do I feel about stereotypes now?
Here's the history in front of you. Your emotional response to that is yours.
It's yours to keep.
And yet in that course of time, I'm looking here, the more than 160,000 people have visited this center and do so, or it says visit the center annually.
Annually. We have a wonderful mix of day travelers coming from Atlanta or Pensacola, school groups coming from Florida State University.
So it's a destination for tourists.
We have some unique collections. Yes, we have some very unique collections. This is February. From January to March, we're we have our busiest school group time. During the summer, family reunions, it's a popular destination.
Would it be fair to say that you're better known outside of Tallahassee than you are among Tallahassee's own citizens?
Yes, yes. We have a great broad respect in the southeastern region of the United States.
It's astounding.
Certainly from South Georgia. We get a large influx of travelers from South Georgia and West Florida.
So many of our guests over so many years that we've been doing this have pointed to Tallahassee's siloed way of thinking and living. You know, even guys like Richard Florida, and he writes this or publishes this review of census data saying Tallahassee's the most segregated city in America. Yeah, and that came out about 5 years ago.
I would have to disagree, and I'm new to Tallahassee.
Yeah.
I find Tallahassee to be extremely welcoming.
Yeah.
You can go into coffee shops and bookstores in Midtown, like the Midtown Reader,
right.
and sit and enjoy yourself. Or you can go to, you know, Banbridge area and listen to some blues.
Right.
And which is I have an affinity for.
Yeah.
You know, live music. And on the South Side, you can smoke a cigar. There's a good mix of good people.
Interesting point. So you and Gary Anton known each other pretty well, probably, out there at Bradfordville Blues Club. Shameless plug here. We broadcast live every Saturday night on Moose Magnificat, the Bradfordville Blues Club.
So excellent.
Put that in your daytime.
Well, I may see you this Saturday.
Yeah,
how
man.
About that?
it's a great, great experience. The fact is, when Richard Florida published that work, it was met with a great deal of dismay, especially among Chamber of Commerce people. Mm. And the comment was, well, that's not the real Tallahassee that Richard Florida's looking at. And the perspective was simply this. He was looking at, and when we use the word segregation, he's talking about the separation of both racial, ethnic, and economic and lifestyle groupings, right? So he really was looking at how the community, the population, is segmented in a way that keeps us in our little bubbles. And what you're pointing to is access. You're not restricted and you're able to enjoy all kinds of different places and activities, and you're not being confronted. And in that way, yes, I think Tallahassee has established itself well in contrast to where we were, let's say, you know, 70 years ago or better, or even 60 years ago. We just now this last week, the 60th anniversary of the Tallahassee lunch counter sit-in, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
This notion of us being a segregated community really comes back to us living and working in our little circle. And here's the Black Archives over here at FAMU. And when I bring that to people, they'll say, well, I didn't know that existed. If I talk about the Tallahassee Museum, they don't know what that is. If I tell them, hey, Cascades Park, what do you think? They don't know what that is. And that kind of, I don't know what to call it. It's almost sedentary.
Right.
You're just plodding along the path that you've, you know,
it's very
created for yourself.
It can be very isolationist, but it doesn't have to reflect the metal of a community.
Yeah.
You have a set of railroad tracks that represents some level of commerce 40, 50, 60 years ago. And for some people, that also represented freedom, access to another land. But that symbolism does not have to resonate today. You know, it is up to us, individuals who are enlightened, to say, let's open the doors so that you feel welcome. And once you welcome individuals into your doors, into your home, quote unquote, then you may find out that there's a consciousness and understanding that's very similar, and it crosses barriers, just like ragtime music or, you know, jump blues.
Yep. B.B. King was quoted as saying that when you're a blues player, you're black twice.
Right. Okay. Yes. Yes. I had the opportunity to help distribute his 80th anniversary guitar when he turned 80. Mm. I had five diamonds in the headstock. Oh, wow. And he came to play in Memphis. And he also said that he erases the divide with the pluck of his strings.
Mm. You know,
because music is, that's harmony. And that's, if you're a spiritual man, when God said, he was speaking through music. You know?
Amen.
So, and then you talk about music, you know, that's a whole nother realm.
We Sister should. Rosetta Tharpe. We should have you back, and we'll just do that.
Yeah, we can go from Conway Twitty, which is from my hometown,
yes, and sir.
Levon Helm, and all the way up to
the band,
Stax Museum, the Stax Record Company, and Motown.
Wow.
In this area, Muscle Shoals in Alabama.
He's a knowledgeable man, and he's our guest this morning, Dr. Nasheed Madyun. He is here to talk with us about this remarkable contribution to America's understanding of our own history, particularly black history. He's the director for Meek Eaton Black Archives at FAMU, and you're in tune with Tallahassee Talks. Stay with me.
Hi, I'm Josh, and this is an ad for Super Signs. We were going to do an ad that was funny or maybe really dramatic, you know, something clever, but that just didn't work. So I'm just going to tell you, Super Signs is great. I mean, they're really great. And it's not just me saying it. Lots of people posting and talking to their friends. Here's one. We are so happy with all our signs and banners by Super Signs. Highly recommend. Here's another. These guys are awesome. They run their business with great quality and service. Our lighted sign looks fantastic. I can't rave enough. Super Signs does the really big stuff, like outdoor lighted signs, vehicle wraps, wall murals, and all the banners, the yard signs, and indoor signs too. So for your business or your birthday party, Super Signs is your sign company. So that's it. That's our ad. Super Signs is great. I mean, really, really, really great. You should call them, 422-1883, or go to their website, yoursupersigns.com. How's that for clever?
Hi, I'm Jerry.
And I'm Pete.
And we're with the Jerry Thigpen Trio, and you're listening to Tallahassee Talks with Brian Cerny.
We're back. We're talking with Dr. Nasheed Madyun. For the many years that you've been involved with this program, this museum, the collection is not static, is it? So you continue to receive contributions. Tell us about that process and some of the more recent things that you've come into have come into your possession there.
So a museum has a collection. To distinguish it between a gallery rotates and individuals can come and buy and sell, but you can't buy and sell with a museum. A museum wants to accession an item into its collection and provide an identifiable marker and care and feed for that item.
I see.
And so, but you also have a collection policy, and there are things we accept and things we do not, and we have a story to tell, and hopefully we can collect items that continue to tell that story, wherever we want to go with it. Sometimes we get a phone call. I get plenty of phone calls, and there's a lady at the other end of the phone, and says, "I have a family member that just passed, and I believe she has some items that you would love to have." Hmm. And you're skeptical, but you know they're rare finds, right? So about early October, late September, I took a ride to Gainesville to see what I could see. And it turns out that a nice lady had collected over 3,000 African-American dolls dating back to the 1920s. Porcelain, dresses made of silk. Just very extravagant doll collection, and the doll collection had overwhelmed her household to where she lived among these dolls. They were being donated.
Wow.
And it just so happens
blew you away.
Yeah, and we'll take it all, right?
Yeah,
And I get back to campus. Serendipitously, we have a new professor, Kimberly Brown Pelham. Mm. She was Miss FAMU some years ago.
Okay.
Went to get her doctorate in African-American history and came to us. This is her first year here, and her perspective is the Black woman aesthetic and the role of popular culture and Black women. So, well, we have this doll collection just received a couple of weeks ago, and she
must
screamed.
Have just
she's
fallen out.
So we're pulling together an exhibit that can talk in this year that we look at suffrage and the 19th Amendment and the role of women and voting and partisanship. We can also talk about how women are perceived and presented in popular culture. We'll do that in the fall of this year. So we'll be able to provide visual, material, culture in a scholarly setting. It's remarkable. But that's a remarkable collection and one of those slice of life stories that can make you cry.
Yeah, man.
But I also had the opportunity. Some of the stories are not as good, you know. It's heart-tugging, but... I also had the opportunity to walk through an attic of a granddaughter of a former KKK member. And you come across ropes with blood stains still on them. And you're able to peruse the ritual of 1921 KKK manual from Texarkana.
And when you're having to confront those artifacts, clearly the emotions for you have to run the gamut. But you're having to, at the same time, approach that as an academician.
Right.
You're looking at this with a sort of dispassionate way of approaching the object, the item, as part of this ongoing story, this unfolding story.
Yes.
It's got to be tough.
It can be difficult to be objective when you look at current politics and you have to say whether or not powers are being abused or not. And you frame history as with Black history, there are waves of the KKK, and are we witnessing a new wave of oppression? Only history will be able to reveal that because we're living through it. And you see items published. You see a stamp for papers to be signed that reflect a time period when it was okay to present this type of behavior, accept that type of behavior, and project it onto a class of people, quote unquote, class of people, so you can cast them in a particular light. And we're only talking about 100 years ago. You know, the manual, the ritual that I held from 1921, in Texarkana KKK manual, you know, we're looking at just 100 years ago that people in their 20s, 30s, and 40s, for whatever reason, were threatened by individuals just trying to live their life and put food on their table.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And in the world's history, that's a blink of an eye.
Yes.
100 years is nothing.
We have the luxury of social media. There are traditional mediums, like my father was also a newspaper man and a radio talk show host. And you have the luxury of being able to look at different sectors of the community. And with that ability to switch the lens or the aperture on your camera, we also should be able to look at contemporary issues and be a voice. Take a look at this stop and frisk piece that keeps coming back up because of the election, and we look at the horrors that crime can impart on the community, but there are different lenses. There are businesses that are trying to protect themselves from a variety of nuances, but you also have the families who have to say, we need to take a protectionist stance and teach our kids how to navigate a block corner or get to school and come home, go to after school programs without being thrown up against a wall. Mm-hmm. And so that one policy affects different segments mm-hmm. of the community.
In different ways.
In different ways. We have mm-hmm. on, as a part of our mandate, it's a research center. Mm-hmm. And we started to produce an academic journal. And the main prism of that journal is policy and how policy can be created to affect a part of society, or how policy has been created mm-hmm. and it has affected society. Mm-hmm. And we've been able to explore, and we will continue to explore, maybe we contribute new thought. And that's a responsibility we have once we become enlightened.
A great place to start, in my view, would be to make it a mandatory visit. Get over to the Meek Eaton Black Archives. Put yourself front and center, square in the face of this history that is represented to us. And it is our history. And it's portrayed through all of these various artifacts, all of the contributions to this remarkable museum there at FAMU. Dr. Nasheed Madyun, our guest and the director for this remarkable facility. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for the time today. Folks, that's what I have for you this week. We are the production of Spatterwork Media and Entertainment. Carl Cerny is our executive director, coming to you on Moose Magnificat Internet Radio, streaming the sound of Tallahassee, all local musicians playing their original songs. That is Moose Magnificat. Find us online at moosemagnificat.com. I'll be looking for you again next week. So come on, Tallahassee, come talk to me.
Widen Glass has been taking care of business since 1945. When you call Widen Glass, you're dealing with experienced, reliable professionals who offer only the best. Like Widen's top-of-the-line bath enclosures that provide style and luxury at an affordable price. Eye-catching storefronts are a specialty at Widen Glass. We'll help you design it and install it. Widen Glass, the first name in glass replacement. Call 222-5781.